I was planning this morning to speak about something totally different, but unfortunately I'm going to let off steam because what I think has happened in the last 2 weeks is an outrage to the Torah, an outrage to Judaism, embarrasses our community, and shouldn't have been done. And allow me to begin with a very simple statement you all know. I hate to start with simple statements because I assume that you come to this shiur in order to hear innovative statements. You don't need me to tell you the simple things. You can learn that on your own. But, unfortunately, sometimes I feel that I have to refurbish and remind people of the simple parts of life that they forget.
Did something happen that we, like, should know about?
Yes, you will in a minute. Of course, I always say it's your job to know what's happening, and I'll just comment, but that's fine. You can hear it between the lines. In halacha, anytime you learn a sugya in the Gemara, or you learn a halachic topic, somehow, somewhere in that shir, somebody is going to say, we have to determine if the prop, if this particular law is mi de oraita, continue,
or
a minhag, because this has ramifications halachically. Just to give you one, suppose you have a din de oraita that comes in clash with a din de rabbanon. Which is more important? Which do you do first? Which do you do second? Maybe you have to disregard one in order to do the other. The bottom line is, you have to have your head screwed on straight in order to live as a Jew. And one of the ways you have your head screwed on straight in order to live as a Jew is to know what's the Oraisa, what's the Rabbanan, what's a Minhag, and what's neither of the above, just something we do.
I thought there's right to trust the Rabbanan, but I'm not sure, frankly, that's true.
What?
That is the right to trust the Rabbanan, if you like a problem.
Yes. The Oraisa is only abrogated for Pikuach Nefesh, except for the big cardinal three. The Rabbanon is for many other reasons, like Miktsat Choli, or whatever. To give you a case, no problem. Shabbos comes, you wake up in the morning, and it's very dark, and you want to learn Torah, can you put on your light bulb? Putting on a light bulb is pretty much assumed to be a Dindo Oraisa of Mavir. Mavir means to kindle a fire. I'm talking about the regular light bulbs, not the fluorescent ones. But the regular light bulbs that get hot is considered a Dindo Oraisa. So even though you want to learn Torah, which is very important, Dindo Oraisa just because you wanted to learn Torah, or it's your Onik Shabbos to read the Friday paper.
What is a Dindo?
Now, Onik Shabbos is a Dindo Rabbanan. It's a very nice, but doesn't Oraisa of putting on a light bulb.
Would the light bulb be Dindo Rabbanan? We could have done it.
If the light bulb were Dindo Rabbanan, we could have discussed it. But since it's not a Derabbanan, we can't even discuss it.
Yeah.
Now, the same thing is true with regard to Yom Kippur on Shabbos that we just celebrated in the last 2 years. Yom Kippur is a din d'oraisa at the fast on Yom Kippur. There's a din of onek Shabbos mid'Rabbanan, and part of that is eating. A din d'oraisa, obviously, is not less important than a din d'Rabbanan, much the opposite, and therefore we fast even though it's Shabbos. Not so with regard to din d'Rabbanan. For example, the Chachamim came out and said, I know it's a deep, dark secret, but allow me to let you in on the secret. You're not allowed to ask a goy on Shabbos to do what you're forbidden to do. That's called Amira Lakum, which is forbidden. I know it's a deep, dark secret, because we have this new institution called the Shabbos Goy, but it's forbidden. However, since it's a din de Rabbanan, according to most poskim, there is a Rashi that seems to connote it's the Raisa, but the majority of poskim assume it's the Rabbanan. There are, obviously, many more leniences than Pikuach Nefesh. For example, Onik Shabbos, Orchim, many different things. So for example, for case scenario, your plot is Shabbos clock and you have no way to warm up your food and 20 guests are coming. In that situation, perhaps, again I say perhaps, you can ask a Dai to do it for you.
Or indirectly.
Correct. Now,
about the one year old child.
Right.
Child is your own child is forbidden midoraisa.
Right.
Your own child under bar mitzvah is a din de oraisa. Lo ta'aseh kol melacha, ata uvin kol vitecha. To ask your neighbor might be the rabbanan chinuch.
Exactly. Ask somebody else's child.
That could be a din de rabbanan and not a din de oraisa. Yes, it's bad chinuch, but it's definitely not a din de oraisa.
Right, but that's why if you ask like a 2-year-old kid that doesn't understand yet.
Even so, it's part of the prohibition of lo ta'aseh chol melacha, ata uvin chol vitecha, vavdecha v'amatcha v'emtecha. Your animal also doesn't understand, but you're not allowed to have your animal do malachos on Shabbos like plow your field.
My teenagers don't know what you mean. A trained monkey can't do it for me?
A trained monkey may be able to do it for you, yeah. But not on Shabbos if it's yours. If it's your monkey, he's not allowed.
Someone had that body, did
that? So the truth is, gentlemen,
they were not allowed to do it.
No.
Why?
Because you're chayav, just like you're chayav on Shabbos, you're chayav that all your behemoths are chayav on Shabbos too. So if it's your behemoth, your dog, you're not allowed to do it. No. So gentlemen, as you can understand, in order to live as a Jew in this world, you have to know what's a din d'oraisa, what's a din d'rabbanon, and you have to have your head screwed on straight in order to know these things, because if not, you may abrogate Jewish law. If a person doesn't know how to distinguish ven tamei tahor, and dain din d'oraisa with din d'rabbanon, then he might come up and say, all right, Shabbos morning, it's dark, I want to learn Torah. Learning Torah is very important, and might even be it's obviously a din d'oraisa, so I can put on the light and do an iser for a din d'oraisa of learning Torah.
The minhag is lower than the other two?
And minhag is obviously lower than the other two. Mm-hmm. So, gentlemen, we have to know what is a d'oraisa, what's a d'rabbanon, and then obviously the higher beyond the d'oraisa is what's called yahareg va'al ya'avor, which means that the three cardinal sins of the Torah, and in times of Shema, all the Torah, you're not allowed to even violate one sin, you have to give your life for. In general, we don't give our life for our religion, unlike other religions we know out there die. We don't think it's a mitzvah to die, we think it's a mitzvah to live as a Jew. However, there are three cardinal sins that we will never, ever, ever violate, and one of them, of course, is murder. Okay, very good. The other one is Gilui Arayos. Gilui Arayos means, obviously, what we would call illicit, forbidden sexual behaviors, midoraisa of the Torah. Now, I feel that in the last few years, in the last 2 weeks, it's happened more than ever. What I call the religious Zionist world, part of it at least, has decided to do two cardinal sins, not as cardinal as Yahareg Va'al Yavor, but two terrible sins that A, embarrassed the Torah, B, embarrassed our particular community, and it all came from the same sin, not watching your mouth. Not watching your mouth. If you recall, not so long ago, something happened in the army that shouldn't have happened. A huge mistake. It's not to be part of a certain ceremony because of Kol Isha. They may hear a woman sing, which is a prohibition.
Is there a problem?
Their commanders, who are idiots, decided to say, no, you have to be there. What they did there was that they got up and they walked out. This obviously doesn't stay inside the army anymore. 10 years ago it would have, but today with Facebook and telephones and whatnot, it doesn't. So everyone knew about it. If you ask my personal opinion, the commanders are idiots. These are good soldiers. They were going to be good soldiers. They asked to exempt four soldiers from a certain something, and the commanders decided to be hotheads and say no. Then obviously I think the commanders are a bunch of idiots. But. And I think the army has to accommodate religious soldiers, just like they accommodate Druze soldiers for their yuntivs. They accommodate Ethiopian soldiers that have their particular days of festivities. They have to accommodate religious soldiers, and the army has done wonders in this. So a mistake happened, a huge mistake. Not so long ago, a certain rabbi comes out, and he's not alone, and said, Kol Isha, Areg Ve'al Ya'avor. Kol Isha is Yahareg Ve'al Ya'avor.
Is Kol Isha the right thing?
Gentlemen, it's very hard to make a case that Kol Isha is Mida Oraisa. But assuming that it is, to make a case that it's Yahareg Ve'al Ya'avor, in what we would call the contemporary Kol Isha, which is a woman on stage singing into a microphone, would be a very hard acrobatic act for any rabbi to do. He would have to assume five assumptions in order to get to Yahareg Va'al Ya'avor. It is an iser. It is a prohibition in the Torah. However, whoever knows that sugiya well knows that it's far from being a prohibition like not eating pig. Not eating pig is simple. You're not allowed to put pig in your mouth. Finished. You can't even eat a crumb of pig because we passed in like Reish Lakish against Rabbi Yochanan or the other one, I forgot who, that even a chatzi shir asum in a Torah, even if you eat a crumb of Torah. So you can't eat pig. Finished. End of discussion. You can't give a fancy-dancy shir on not eating pig.
You wouldn't die for that either. Someone made that.
Exactly. So comes along a rabbi and says, because this and this happened to the army, A, the soldiers are correct. They're tzaddikim tahorim. They walked out.
Well,
I don't think the soldiers are correct. I think they should have complained against their commanders. Absolutely. I told you already, I think the commanders are morons. But, having said that, there is ways to sit in a room when there's Kol Isha, not violate the prohibition on the one hand, And on the other hand, not to separate yourself from the Jewish people that are in the room, not to walk out ki'ilu with a demonstration, oh, I don't do this. I can give you a small story about a rabbi who I don't think is necessarily a modern Orthodox rabbi for you to understand what I mean. The former Sephardi chief rabbi of Israel was Rav Bakshi Doron. He was once invited to a certain community of one of our graduates that was celebrating 100 years for their existence. In this ceremony, not rabbi, all of a sudden, in the middle of the ceremony, a woman's choir, each woman there over 80 years old, came out and started to sing. What did the rabbis in the room do? Now, I'm not going to tell you what other rabbis did. One rabbi had to go to the bathroom at that moment. You know, the that as soon as Kolisha happens, you have to use the washroom. That's a certain need of the Jewish people. Okay. The other rabbi went like this. Embarrassed himself. What did Rav Bakshi Doron do? Rav Bakshi Doron started singing with the choir. So that it would be trei kaleh. It would be two different voices, a male voice and a woman's voice. And this way he wasn't listening only to a woman's voice.
That's tricky.
And he added another issue. He looked down. He didn't look at them. He looked down. According to many posts, there's no kolisha unless you look at the woman singing. Right. Even if you hear her on the radio, it's not a prohibition. Or Ravadi Yosef has such a tshuva. So there are ways to overcome kolisha, even if there is a kolisha, in the same room. Now, I don't think that the soldiers did a good thing walking out like that. They should end this because I think it's justified, and I think the army should accommodate. And the commanders, as I said earlier, are not the smartest of men. But to go out in the middle, I don't think was the smartest act. But what kills me is not that. We make mistakes or whatever. This is what kills me. Pardon?
What is the reasoning behind this halakha? I'm not inspired to think in pure thoughts when I go to the opera.
The halakha has to sometimes, I'm not going to go into kolisha today, but just in one leg, I'll say that the halakha many times forbids not just you being aroused to a certain act, but something that has the potential of arousing you to a certain forbidden thought. So the kolisha does have that potential at certain times. If you see people go, no. The halakha doesn't work by an individual lekula. The chumra, yes, you can put upon yourself a personal chumra, but lekula, no.
Isn't there a rule that a crisis at the moment, what's it called, the
Shahat Ashmad, yeah.
Where you want to take a stand because you feel...
Oh, so here I come. Here I come.
There's a rabbi who hung 80 witches in one day. He was supposed to do that, but he witchcraft and in one day hung 80 witches.
Here we go. This is my main concern today. When a rabbi comes out and says that Kol Isha is Yahareg Ba'al Yavor, he, in my opinion, abrogated the Torah, because that's not at all what the halakha dictates. Kol Isha is not Yahareg Ba'al Yavor, in my opinion, especially not the Kol Isha that was in the army at that moment. And as I said earlier, to assume it, you have to make five assumptions, get that up very early in the morning, do acrobatics, and be very awake to try to finagle that one out. I don't think that's pshat at all in the sugya of Kol Isha. But, here comes my main concern. There was a mistake done. A mistake! This rabbi that said it decided this is not a mistake. This is Sha'at Ashmat. The army is out to ruin and totally annihilate religion. We're back to the Yevanim, we're back to Hanukkah, we're back to all the pogroms that happened against the Jewish people. They're out to get, they want to make every man, woman, and child a secular Jew. That's what the army wants to do, and therefore, since it's Sha'at Ashmad, every mitzvah in the Torah, even the shuleis of being black and not red, if that was the Jewish custom, becomes a Yahareg Val Yavor. So the rabbi came out and said, oh, Tzahal, Jewish army, in Medinat Yisrael, Jewish state, is out to get religion. And therefore we have to say Yahareg Val Yavor. Now what do you think the students heard when they heard that?
Which rabbi was
it? I'm not going to mention it.
What if the army said that?
Look it up on the internet, you'll find all the sources. All you have to do is do Yahareg Val Yavor Kol Isha and you'll find exactly who I'm speaking of.
What is a political... from a
political
party?
Right.
Or
a rabbi?
No.
What if the army would say, you know what?
Now here what gets me.
That is our goal. What if the army would say that?
If the army would say that is our goal, we'll have a whole different discussion. The army is not saying that for a very simple reason. Because Nachal Charedi is part of the army.
That's a
bidi evet. Do you know what they do for Nachal Charedi?
Yeah, but they agreed to stick. They didn't want to do that. to do
it. To do it? Do you know what the army did in order to accommodate the Haredim?
Yes, but did the army want to?
They totally took out the women from their courts.
But did the army want
They totally changed the kashrus.
Under pressure. Did the army want
under
to?
Under pressure. That? The army's, what are they, a bunch of tzaddikim?
The
army wants every citizen of Israel to serve in the army.
After the army's culture was under pressure from day
did
one.
Did you? Yeah. Did it you serve like in the army, Bruce?
No.
I served in the army. And here's my main point. In the army of Israel, mistakes happen. Halachically. They sometimes defy orders. Yes. Commanders are idiots sometimes.
Did
yes.
They
mistakes
pay?
Happen. Did but you pay? Have to come out and say, and this is what I think should have been said, is a terrible mistake happened, and we hope it's not going to happen again.
And, who should say
and we're going to talk to the commanders and explain to them that our soldiers can't tolerate Croatia. That, I'd be at the meeting. But then come and say, Yaregval Yavor, do you understand the magnitude of what you said? And today, what kills me is when this rabbi said it, other rabbis supported it and said, he's right. They're all out since Gush Katif. They're out to get us.
What do you make of that? That's the perception many people have.
Okay. So I'm going to tell you
right
now.
Wrong, people
I'm going to tell you right now that, A, I disagree with the perception, but perception is in the eyes of the observer.
Yeah, right.
Fine. And here comes my main point. Even if you think it, Rav Yisrael Salanter is famous as saying, not everything you think do you say, and not everything you say do you write. I'm here in a shir now. If I would write this for an article, I would pick and choose my words. Now, this rabbi doesn't understand what's going to be done with the statement throughout all the newspapers of Israel.
Who did you say
all the talk facts, all the Facebooks.
Was it a private talk?
No.
A public talk?
If it was a private talk, I wouldn't be talking about it today.
Well, it could go out on Facebook, but he said it privately.
Yeah, he said it privately. He did not come out and say he said it privately. Even if he said it privately, I have no excuse for it.
Someone
you don't abrogate out. Jewish law for your political needs, and you don't abrogate Jewish law in order to take a stand. I'm sorry.
But
you want to say that I think Kol Isha it should be something no one violates? Say it. But don't say Yarek Vayavor. Don't invoke halacha for your own needs. That's my first point. Just one
I'm
second.
A religious Jew. I'm told to destroy that Jewish home and put that family out in the street in the middle of the night. Is the army right? Or do I stand on my principles?
First of all, I don't think there's any equation between the issue of Kol Isha and evacuating Jewish settlements.
Well, I think the latter is more important even than Kol Isha.
I think that evacuating settlements is more critical than Kol Isha.
Well, the issues you follow
and therefore, that I don't think there's any equation between the two.
Number two,
if you would like, I can give you my opinion on following orders in those situations. And I can tell you then, too, that in my opinion, I don't think every order is kadosh. Not every order has to be followed. I'd say 99% of them, yes. But when an order is not followed, what I don't like is the simcha that people have of, great, we defied orders. That shouldn't be what a person feels. He should be crying and saying, unfortunately, I couldn't because it went against my conscience.
Whatever they are.
No, not at all. The same group of rabbis I'm talking of, when someone defies orders, is brought back, gets the third aliyah, a kiddush is given to him. That's not, I think they should be sitting on the floor and crying. We're in a Jewish army in Lolo, we have to go ahead and say we can't fulfill an order. What is this? We're happy about this? That we're taking a stand? Great. I think you should take stands. And yes, I agree with you. Not every order is kadosh. But
so
to go out and make a simcha and a sahala out of it?
The question goes back to the definition of the purpose of an army in Israel. Now, as I understand it, it's to defend us, our lives and our property, not to act as a political arm of any party.
Listen, I agree with you 100%, 200%, but I don't believe.
That should be an understanding.
But I don't believe that what you're presenting now has to do with the topic of this morning, namely Kol Isha. You're talking about something that, in my opinion, if you take this week's parsha, is 10 rugs up, and that's a totally different discussion.
No, we're talking about orders.
No. That's what I want to make clear. I don't think we are talking about any order. I'm talking about an order of Kol Isha. You have to sit in the room and listen to Kol Isha. First of all, the Kol Isha in the army may not even be prohibited. If you look in the sugya, it could very well be, since it's with a microphone and many other things, and it's not a sexual act, perhaps it's permitted. Even if it's not permitted according to all poskim, I gave you the example of Rav Bakshi Daron, what he did in that situation. But, you know, to make a statement of Yahareg va'al Ya'avor on Kol Isha, is, in my opinion, abrogating Jewish law, and even if it's not, maybe it is a Yahareg Va'al Yavor, why do you make that statement publicly? Don't you know what it's going to do to an entire, beautiful community in Israel? I'm sorry. But when you come out and you're going to talk to the press, you've got to know how to talk to the press. There's rules and regulations that regulate the press. And if you don't know them, don't talk to the press. And one of them is, watch what you say. It's not a yeshiva. It's not a shir. They take every word, they'll miscombobulate it in order to make it what they want it to hear. Look what they do with Rav Avadya Yosef every Motzei Shabbos when he says something out of the blue that may not be right.
Well, did other rabbis counter the comment? Or you said
other rabbis did counter the comment, but not enough, in my opinion. And this is what kills me. Anytime someone talks in the name of the Torah, in the name of Halacha, no one wants to go ahead and speak against them. Well, I'm sorry. When you go ahead and you take Halacha, and you take Kol Isha only, and that's like the only Halacha, Tiareg Val Yavor, and you forget about everything else, then I think you should talk out against it. And say, no, this is not what the Halacha dictates. Kol Isha shouldn't have been done, and the commander shouldn't have exempted these soldiers, but a mistake was done, and it has to be called what it is, a terrible mistake. It is not a Yahreg Val Yavor. It is not a Shahat HaShmad. Let's put our heads again, let's screw it on straight and differentiate between Adin D'Oraisa, the Rabbanan, and the Minog, and between what I call a huge mistake versus what I would call the cardinal sin.
You think the commanders made a mistake?
I think so.
Did they get...
They should be.
Maybe the soldiers made a mistake too.
Yeah,
they didn't know the halacha. They didn't know...
Could very well be.
Their own...
They thought they punished. They got thrown out of their unit. The commanders didn't get punished.
If right afterwards, they would come out, the rabbis, and say the mistake was done on the side of the commanders and on the side of the soldiers, I'd sign on the dotted line. That's absolutely what it is. Let's call the spade a spade. A huge mistake. Okay? We're going to have a meeting, and we're going to regulate this, and it's going to be taken care of. In my time in the Army, there were mistakes as well. Mistakes were done. So either we could sit down with our commanders, and if they were hotheads with what I would call nose plugs in their ears, and they wouldn't listen to us, there's ways to complain about commanders. Yes, you can what's called lahagish kvila. And then the soldier will have to be the commander, will have to be called to a higher commander and explain himself. Yes, mistakes are done, and they're taken care of. I've seen mistakes when I was in the Army. Mistakes will continue to be gone because we're all human. And therefore, I think it has to be called what I think on the side of the commanders, and I also think on the side of the soldiers.
This went all the way up to the top, to Benny Gantz, who ended up ruling that those committed the right thing, and those soldiers got to sit there from how high water. And I think that's what the rabbis responded to. Not that these soldiers walked out, but they were thrown out of their unit.
But again,
and the Army Paschim said it's perfectly
again, when you go ahead and you take an issue and you blow it out of proportion, then obviously each side, the Army on the one side, and the commanders on the other side, and the rabbis on the third side. But I'm sorry, it all started with making a din that was maybe a d'oraisa, I'm assuming a d'rabbanan, into a yahareg val yavor.
You can't equate an official honor response to one hothead rabbi's comment. The official honor response has to be balanced and level-headed and taken with a lot of forethought.
And how do you want to do that? How are you going to do that if the rabbis come and say, our students are going to follow the rabbis under all circumstances and not? That's what I understood being a non-religious Jew in Israel from these comments.
You're only going to ignore that rabbi's comments, analyze the situation, reprimand the commander,
Bruce,
and say how it's not going to happen again.
I can definitely discuss with you what should have happened. But that rabbi had no excuse for putting an entire community into the light we're in right now.
But it's not just him. It's a lot of other rabbis signed on. So there must be some basis. It can't be that they're just plain wrong.
What am I doing here?
You're saying he's a black or a wrong?
I am telling you my opinion. That's what I said I'm going
to
do.
But then, I want this you to explain
year,
why all those other rabbis signed on.
Bruce, this year... Bruce,
devil's advocate,
Bruce,
say, what were they thinking?
Bruce,
they
if you let me take a comment in, I'd be happy to comment on your words. But if you want to talk, here's the microphone. This year is my thoughts on my community. I am not out to be a lawyer for other rabbis. If they want to come in and present their point of view, Bruce, bring them to this chair, I'll sit over there and I'll listen to them. And then you can take two points of view and decide which one to do. I am telling you that from where I sit, terrible thing have happened, and it all goes back to one cardinal sin. And that cardinal sin is watch what you say. Watch what you say. Watch how you say it. That's what I think it comes down
you
to.
You also know for sure he said that? Because a lot of people misquoted the newspaper.
Not only did I know he said it, but he was quoted, and then he was re-quoted, and then there was comments on it. And if you looked at any of the papers, even the papers that support such a point of view, like Arut Sheva's paper that's given out free, B'Sheva, you could see they all commented on this issue. So some agreed, some disagreed.
We may not know the whole issue, but for a moment, if you can explain why he might have said what he said, or if you think it was like a political comment, or is it any halachic basis for all these rabbis to sign on board with it?
Not all the rabbis signed on board.
No, the ones who did. I mean, why
not
did
all rabbis signed on board. Not at all. Far from it. Far from it.
No, but the ones who did, why did they do that?
Ask them.
Do you think it's only politics?
Kolisha is a Mishnah in Brachos. It's another Mishnah in Ksubos, probably. Perhaps it's only for Kriyat Shema. We Paskin know. You're not allowed to listen to Kol Isha all the time. I can promise you. I can promise you that Kol Isha is
not only Kol Isha.
This
is not a Kol Isha issue.
To pick a fight.
This is a bigger issue.
So here's where I'm going to say exactly. You're going back to my point. This is exactly my point. When you take a mistake and you make it into a bigger issue, you better know what you're doing. You better know what you're doing. If this was part of many other things that are happening in the army today, and they're all negative against religion, then I can understand the rabbis coming out and saying very radical things.
It was the straw that broke the camel's back.
Oh, so here's where I have to disagree. No. So here I'm going to take a stand and disagree. I don't think it is the straw that destroyed the camel's back, because I don't think that everything in the army that's happening today is terrible against religion.
I mean, that happened recently. Look
again,
what they
they're destroying
the
homes.
I mean,
yes.
And they're talking about give out the
they're
stop.
Destroying
they're
homes. Then there's the Kol Isha issue.
Okay.
On the other hand, the army has done wonders, and I repeat, wonders to accommodate
these
soldiers far more than ever before. Not only all the kitchens formerly kosher, at least the big kitchens are formerly kosher, but today the army is going to glatt kosher to accommodate the Sephardi soldiers. In the pkudot of the army, on a fast day, you have a right not to be called to any duty unless it's pikuach nefesh. Fast day, I'm not talking about Yom Kippur. I'm talking about fast day, Asara B'Tevis. You have a right to sit and not do any physical labor, because that's to accommodate a soldier. Now, I can stay here right now and make a very good case that if you're in the army, you're putter from the fast of Asara B'Tevis, and that's it. The army accommodates your religious observance in many different ways. The Nachash Haredi, imagine what the army did for them. I mean, just to understand, the whole kashrus has to change because of a certain group. And not to mention no women and shiurim by rabbis that are coming into secret army bases to give shiurim. I mean, it's amazing. And because most of the Haredim don't have a bagrut, if you're in Nachal Haredi, the third year, the army pays for you to take courses to finish your bagrut, your matriculation exams to go into college.
Only in there.
Thing in the army is terrible and it's against religion, and therefore, this is the last straw. I don't accept that. I think a lot of good is happening in the army, and there are isolated acts that are happening as well that are terrible. And yes, we can come out and say a huge mistake was made, and this shouldn't be. And by the way, there are people that are supposed to look out for religious soldiers in the army. There's Igud Yeshivot is there. There's other groups. Look, today there's more women in the army than ever before. And there's more religious women in the army than ever before. This should include me. There's army, there's none of the above. Women that are religious can decide which track to go, but there's many women in the army. One of these programs in the army is connected with institutions in Israel that ultimately they learn 1 year before going into the army. They go into the army. Once a week they have a shir. Their army created a whole new wardrobe to accommodate these girls, namely skirts that are far down from the knee. And this is the same army, yes, episode happened in. So I can't accept that it's the straw that broke the camel's back. It's true that if you look at only the negative and not the positive, then I agree that eventually you're going to say, oh, they're destroying homes, and then Gush Katif happened a few years ago, and now this, so that's it, they're out to get us. But there's a lot of good happening in the army too. And Baruch Hashem, you know what they say about Bahad Echad, which is where they train the officers of the army. They say that there's more religious soldiers today in Ba'ad Echad than ever before. There's a shul in Ba'ad Echad.
So they're worried about it.
And I could be very worried, but Ashrei Ayin, Ra'ata Zot, Baruch Hashem. The same army.
Why did he motivate these four?
You know what happened in Israel in the 50s. In the 50s, whoever reads the history carefully, there, I would accept that they were out to get religion. The government of Israel, Ben Gurion, that believes me, has many squealed. He did what no other prime minister did. He stood up to America and declared the state. Ben Gurion was out to definitely destroy religion in the state of Israel. We know the stories. If he made a statement like that, I would maybe understand it. But in the year 2011, I'm sorry, I'm living here. I'm feeling it. I don't think there's an agenda to get rid of it.
But what was his commander's motivation to tell these few soldiers, no, you got to sit there?
So here's what I'm going to say again, what I said earlier in this year. In my personal opinion, just like the army accommodates other mishigatim, they can accommodate what they would consider a mishigat called Kol Yishada for us as a halacha, and say, okay, you've got a nuttiness in your head, fine. Personal story. What am I, a special case? Your personal story. I got into the army in the year 1996. I came to what's called the Bakum. The Bakum is the main base near Tel HaShomer, where you go to when you're drafted into the army. We were supposed to that day go to our real base. They said, no, you got to stay another day, because tomorrow we're getting a big visit from the defense minister and from the Ramatkal. They're all coming to visit the new recruits. And then we were in the papers, because during that meeting, he asked the soldiers, and all the non-religious soldiers said, we want to be in desk jobs, and all the religious soldiers said whatever the army decided. And it came out that the religious soldiers are motivated, the non-religious soldiers not motivated, all because of that meeting that I was in. They didn't ask me, by the way. But they asked a lot of the other ones. Anyway, the night before, so we had nothing to do. So what did the army put on? A show! So there was a little tekes, a ceremony, then there was a show. We went to the commanders. We said, we're religious soldiers. Is there kolisha in the show? They checked, they said, yes. Can we be exempted from the show? They asked. They said, sure. The show is just for recreation. If you don't want to be there, go back to your tents and do nothing. And that's what we'll want. Now, these commanders may have been hotheads.
What does that mean?
They may have been idiots.
They had no agenda. They just made a mistake.
In my opinion, yes.
Just an innocent mistake.
They made a mistake. It's a huge mistake. And if they have an agenda, we can deal with it.
No counter anything.
But I'm sorry. Just like I say it's a mistake, and you say agenda.
You lose just a mistake.
I think it's a huge
mistake. Had an agenda, but these commanders just made a mistake.
Not a mistake. But
don't assume.
The way I just went ahead and described it, to assume that the army has an agenda against religion, you're going to make it be a very hard case to make.
That's a common perception.
Maybe these forced.
Of course it's a common perception. Because if all I look at negative, then obviously it's a common perception.
I don't know if it's people.
Look, you can take anything in life and say the same thing, Bruce. You can say, oh, we live in Efrat. You know what happened in Efrat? There was Chilul Shabbos on Shabbos, and this person is cheating on his wife. And this person, you can take every episode and say, and therefore our community stinks. Right? At the same time, you just, very, very naturally, perhaps not so innocently, disregard all the Shirei Torah in Efrat, and all the Chesed in Efrat, and all the wonderful people here.
The question is, if you interview these commanders, and they would say, you know what, we do have an agenda.
If you would do that,
do you think
I'd be sitting here and giving this if they interviewed the commanders, and the commander says we have an agenda to abrogate religion? I come here and I say we have to fight against it, obviously.
So obviously that's what that rabbi felt.
The rabbi, what he felt. You have no proof in the world that they have an agenda. You're assuming it.
But you're agreeing that if they would have said it, you'd agree with this rabbi.
If they would have said we had an agenda to abrogate religion, absolutely.
So what they did, it's not like going away. It's the balance. When it's appropriate to make that statement.
Yes.
In this case it wasn't.
Yeah, absolutely.
But would the facts be a little bit different, if we're not sure of, by the way, then you would have come out completely on his side, you're saying.
If the fact would be that these commanders said...
Have those commanders also abiding by...
So if you find out, if tomorrow's newspaper, these commanders say, you know what, we have an agenda, you'll...
I'll take it all back.
Okay.
No problem. But until then, I believe that, A, you have to watch what you say, B, I don't think in this particular case it was a total prohibition, and C, and this is my final point I wanted to make this morning, you can't just take one halacha in the Torah and say that's the most important halacha, nothing else matters. Just like this Kol Isha. There's also halachas of Achdus of Am Yisrael, and being part of Am Yisrael, and being part and parcel of what's going to. And there's a mitzvah of Kiruv Levavo. And maybe, just maybe, if you're going to separate yourself from every recreational act that Am Yisrael does, there's a price for this. And maybe we have to invoke certain heterim and kol isha in order to be part of Am Yisrael. just to take Kol Isha isolated. This is the most important thing. There's nothing else. And forget about all the rest of the values of the Torah. It's also not a very honest thing to do.
When you were a young man, that's what you did when you were at the Tekkes.
Yeah, but I was at the Tekkes.
You could have said, you know what, for Achdut, we'll all sit
okay, in that particular case, you're right, in that particular case,
the exact same
in that particular case, I agree that we didn't think that for Achdut, there's any reason for us to stay, because we were in the Bakum is not our base, and we're not never going to see these soldiers again, they were just everyone together, and we're never going to see them again. The next day, we're out on our base, and they're on their base.
What if the commanders would have pressured you to, they say, you know, for Achdut, we'd like to see you there.
Well, that's exactly the
choice,
proof of my
choice.
Point. The proof,
like
the proof of what I just said.
A subtle pressure.
We'd like to see you there. I'd have to.
Go. Isn't this case
yeah.
These
I may have sat in the back. I may have sat with earplugs. I may have done something. Yes. Yes.
Wasn't the issue here that just refusing an order, forgetting what kind of order it was before?
Was it a party?
Of course they refused an order.
Right. Isn't that the whole
issue? They refused an order, but they asked to be exempted before the order was given.
So
and then the
party.
Hot-headed commander well, said, "No, we're giving the order."
Are there any orders at a party?
Bruce, allow me. No. Here you have to understand
yeah.
something. I'm sorry. You're missing something critical about the army. Your question just reminded me of something.
The told you that.
No. Just reminded me. Now you just reminded me of a beautiful story. A Hasidic Rebbe in America had a little shtiebel, and a chalashidus, a gentleman there, said he's making aliyah. So the Rebbe asked, "What are you going to do in Israel?" He said, "I'm going into Tzva Keva." You know what Tzva Keva means? He's going to be working in the army. In other words, he's going to be a soldier in the army in technology. The Rebbe says, "I don't understand. I mean, if there's a war, you just fight. Why do you have to go into Tzva Keva beforehand? Go work in something else." Looked at this Rebbe and we said, "Rebbe, tomorrow there's a war. You get into an F-15, you're going to fly it? You don't think you have to train beforehand? You don't think you have to go ahead and know how to use the plane? No, you just get up and fight. Finish. You get up and fight. Use your fists. That's the way you're going to win the war." The army is not, to make a good soldier, it's not enough just to teach them how to run up the hill and how to shoot. Part of the army experience is to feel part of an army. And to feel part of the army, they do various things. Amongst them, these motivation rallies. And amongst them, yes, these parties where you feel part of something, where the commanders let down their hair, quote unquote, and you can talk to them freely. Part of these parties are based on food, just a nice barbecue. And yes, part of them are these concerts. Now, we don't have the problem with the food if it's kosher. But we do have the problem with the concerts if there's a Kol Isha. And there's ways to deal with it. And that's what I said at the beginning of the shir, that I think the commanders could have dealt with it. And the fact that they refused
yeah,
to
like to
is
they,
a problem. Yeah, what I say at the beginning of the shir.
I can't imagine they just plain made it. This is an issue that's out there for years already.
I disagree with you because, again, you're only looking at the negative. Look
I'm
at
not
the positive.
Look at the facts of the case. Hey, this is a common problem. This is not just
so call it a huge mistake. So
yesterday.
Call it a huge mistake. Don't call it an agenda.
They could have had an agenda, but they should have abided by it. Was a mistake that they
don't they have an officer
over
them? Isn't there like a chief commander of the can have a bigger... A road
gentlemen, I think a huge mistake was made. I think that definitely... It shouldn't have been done. On the other hand, to make radical statements just because a huge mistake was made is also, with all due respect, eating the bait, and that also was a mistake. And then ultimately, to say it's Yareg Val Yavo, in my opinion, is awful. It's just awful. Just awful.
I don't think it's any worse than anything else. It's one of the issues there. But it's not that those guys got up. I think they threw them out of the unit.
Bruce, if I come out tomorrow and say going to Minyan is Yareg Val Yavo, what would you say?
What if your rabbi tells you that? Your
if
rabbi,
I said to you,
you,
and I'm telling you, Yareg Val Yavor, get up from Minyan.
What will you do if your rabbi tells you?
If my rabbi would tell me that, I would challenge him. Because the rabbis that I had,
right.
And Joel had, if we wouldn't challenge them on that statement, they called us idiots.
So let's explain it to you why it is.
I have no problem.
So you'll follow it?
Ruth, go right ahead and invite them. But Minyan is not Yareg Val Yavor, any way you cut it.
Obviously, but there's a reason that your rabbi would tell you that.
Minyan is not Yareg Val Yavor, any way you cut
neither
it.
Neither tying the shoelace during the Shemot.
You think today is Shemot?
No, but that's, well, I don't think they're tying the shoelace.
You think today the army is out
no,
to destroy religion?
No, but anyone tells you, you died rather than tying your shoelace differently. I'm shocked at such a comment, aren't you? Die rather than tie your shoelace differently?
How did I start this year? How did I start this year? What did I say about the commandments? What words did I use?
I'm trying to get to the why would a rabbi say die rather than tie your shoelaces?
Bruce, I will again, I gave you before, you're not taking me up on it, and you keep on trying to tell me, no, you have to explain to rabbi.
No, I gave you my opinion.
To do
with this case.
Listen to the end of my sentence.
I gave you my opinion.
If you go ahead, and if you want to understand the rabbi that said that Kolisha is Yahareg Valyavor, you bring him here, and I promise I'm sitting over there. And I won't say a word until he finishes.
So you said you would follow your rabbi who gives you an order of what to do.
Absolutely, unequivocally, I never said that. Never did I say that. I just said to you that the yeshiva and my rabbis that Joel and I learned in never would allow us to just follow them because they said it.
No, if you argue.
If you understand it and you agree with it, then you want, and back in Shemayim, they always said, they're not going to say to you, oh, you followed the Vilna Gaon, no problem.
So in times of war, you can't really discuss this with the rabbi?
In times of war,
you're giving an order and the rabbi tells you what you need
to discuss. Absolutely not.
You're out there destroying a home. You think you have time to get a psak halacha?
Destroying a home, yes.
You have time to get the halacha.
It's not war.
3 a.m. you can
3 a.m.
Email your
but again, before, and I forgot your name, sir.
Bill Melman.
Bill, Mr. Melman, I said before that evacuating settlements is high
question.
Up and
okay.
A higher question than
Kol
Isha. No, I'm sorry. That's exactly the point that I'm making at the beginning of the class, and maybe I'm not making myself
when
clear.
When did you learn to draw
you
line?
Can't say order is an order. No.
Where
a minhag is different from a din d'oraisa, and an order of Kol Isha is different from evacuating
settlements. So when did you decide to draw the line, personally? When do you decide to make the rules for yourself as opposed to...
You don't make rules for yourself. A soldier has to be taught to follow orders. When the order, however, is against your conscience and against everything you stand
like
for,
you
better consider it. I'm sorry, but Kol Isha, in my opinion, is not against your conscience.
So that's why you wouldn't have to get up, but you did when you were younger. You said you don't want to be at that meeting.
Bruce, once again, you're misquoting what I said. I said we talked to the commanders before and then we were exempt. I did not refuse orders of Kol Isha.
No, you never even have to raise the topic. It's not
I did raise the topic. Why? I went and I said to them in these words, sitting in this concert would make us uncomfortable. They said, okay, don't sit in the concert, come to the ceremony.
And if they would have said, okay, tough, you would not have.
If they would say, tough, you have to sit in the concert, you'd have to weigh refusing an order with everything that had come to it versus Kol Isha versus other things. But to make it so simple, no, of course we always refuse orders. That I don't agree with.
So in that case, you personally would say, I'm going to sit in the concert, and these guys decided they don't want to.
Again, I have to consider each case individually. I didn't say that.
No, you said
I did not say that.
The order, you
no, I have to consider the case individually.
Okay.
Is there a merit for me to sit in the concert? Yes or no? Yes or no?
I guess these guys thought of it and decided no.
Okay. For example, after Rabin's assassination, because there was such a cry out that every religious Jew in Israel likes to murder people, so there was a concert in Tel Aviv, and it had Kol Isha, obviously, about 7 days after he was killed. And people asked if they can go to the concert. So, obviously, if you just take Kol Isha, and that's the only erech you have in your life, you'll say, no, finished, end of story, right? And others say, well, if you go there and just keep us there, it shows that we're part of the same nation, and we're all against murder. Right? So how do you override Kol Isha? There's ways of doing it. I mentioned the earplugs. I mentioned looking down. I mentioned singing with them. There's many different things you can do. When do you invoke those heterim? You have to decide. If it's just to, I don't know, go to a concert for the sake of going to a concert, I don't think you have to invoke those heterim. But if it's going to a concert to feel part of a unit, perhaps we should. You have to consider each case individually. Joe, when are you supposed to start teaching? I am finished. I was planning this morning to speak about something totally different, but...